Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Fight fans, we welcome you into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobio. Big one planned for you today. Just got off a Zoom press conference for Showtime's big rollout. Joining us on the show this week, he is Dan Rafael. He'll be joining us to tell us everything, break down all the fights that were just introduced there on Showtime. A robust schedule with 8 live events. A lot of really good fights on there. We'll get into all that with Dan Rafael. If you're watching us over on CompuBox TV YouTube page, thank you very much. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us some comments, give us some feedback. If you're also watching us over, listening to us over on iTunes, leave us a rating and a review. And finally, the Fubo Sports Network is doing great things. They'll be airing our program every single Thursday night, 7 p.m. ET. I know that the Fubo Sports Network just added the MLB Network just in time for the season. Go Yankees. Really looking forward to everything that the Fubo Sports Network is doing over there. So the big story now out of boxing world is this Showtime rollout, this big schedule that was just announced. And we're going to have Dan Rafael on in just a minute to go through all of it. 8 events, all happening from the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. They've got their own little bubble going on. They are open to doing some fights later on. If the COVID results get a little bit better, we can see fights in other locations. But for now, that's all planning on happening inside of the Mohegan Sun Resort. Some good fights, some really good fights. If you're complaining about this, then you're just never going to be happy, because on September 26th, a Showtime day-night doubleheader pay-per-view, you heard that right, Jamal Charlo will be facing Sergey Derevchenko. We broke that fight down on our last show, and we're going to break down even further in upcoming events. That right there is a 160-pound title fight. Also on the card, Jermell Charlo, twin brother of Jamal. He fights in a unification fight at 154 pounds versus Jason Rosario. That was rumored to be 2 separate cards. They're coming together to make it one juicy doubleheader. Danny Roman's also on the card. There's 6 fights in total. That's September 26th. October 24th, a fight over on Showtime pay-per-view that we all knew about is Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz. That's a fight that's been rumored for a long time. The WBA has gotten involved. There's multiple titles. There's multiple belts. I'm not getting involved with that. I just know it's going to be a good fight. The power of Gervonta Davis versus the volume of Leo Santa Cruz. Nonito Donaire is also going to be fighting this December 12th on Showtime. That's a WBC bantamweight title fight versus Obali. September 29th, Erickson Lubin versus Terrell Gauchel. That is a title eliminator. You're going to see some big names in there. Benavidez is also fighting on this August 1st. You're going to see Stephen Fulton versus Leo. Another really good fight. I think Showtime has really come out of the gate swinging and really has put their best foot forward for fans. I talked about this last week on Twitter and about the fighter pay. We don't know what's going to go on with the fighter pay. That's in the past. Now we're talking about fights. We're talking about the things we want to see, and that is big-time fights over on Showtime and Showtime pay-per-view. Coming up next, he is Dan Rafael. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of this rollout from Showtime. Also, what's next for ESPN? What's next for Matchroom? All that and more. It's coming up next with Dan Rafael. Big time Showtime rollout just was announced via Zoom. How was that for 2020? And with that, we're going to bring in Dan Rafael. He is the best free agent in the game right now, a hired gun. Dan, you just got off of the Zoom call. I was on it as well. Big time Showtime rollout. Your overall thoughts? There was a lot of big time fights that were announced. We have unification fights. We have a doubleheader pay-per-view. Still trying to wrap my mind around that one. Your overall thoughts on what Showtime just rolled out?
Well, I was excited, number one. And the first thing I thought of was that the long-running rumors of Showtime's boxing demise were greatly exaggerated. I never really bought into that, frankly, but they proved today that they're here, at least for the end of this year anyway, in a big way. Not all of the matches that they announced were a surprise. A lot of them we've sort of known about or are matches that are rescheduled from when they had been previously postponed when the pandemic began. Others, have leaked out a little bit here and there. For example, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, the Charlo Derevchenko fight did not come as a surprise to me at all. That was one of the many fights that's been known about, Santa Cruz and Gervonta Davis. Leonard Ellerbe, has spoken about that on a regular basis. That was no surprise that they're doing that as a main event on a pay-per-view. The Angelo Leo fight against Stephen Fulton for one of the vacant titles at 122 pounds, also a fight that everybody in their camps have been tweeting about. So, you know, those were fights that were not a surprise, but they've come up with other fights that, were not necessarily widely known. And, I know that Steve Espinosa at Showtime loves the idea of announcing a full slate all at once. I think they probably would have loved to do a big, shindig, in a big hotel conference center, have the media there and the fighters and do a big production. Obviously, in the way things are right now, they couldn't do that. So the way that they did it was via the Zoom call, with Brian Custer hosting it and laid out the all the cards and sent out the press release with the full announcement. But they have done a very, very good job in very difficult circumstances to fashion what I think is considering what's going on, pretty darn good schedule, if you ask me.
You know, it's funny. I tweeted talking about big time rollouts. I was at that one. I think it was early 2018. It was at Cipriani's in Manhattan in Lower East Side. I was in a 3-piece suit. It was a big time rollout. And then this fast forward to today, I'm in basketball shorts right now. I just gave away the whole thing. And I'm watching it on Zoom. I think that's 2020 in a nutshell, if I ever seen it.
A lot more casual, let's say, than it might have been if we're at a press conference.
Right. No spread, no none of that fancy stuff, but the media still got their questions. And we talked about the fight the pay-per-view that I think is the one that everyone's most excited about. It's Jermall Charlo, Sergey Derevchenko. Like you said, it was a fight that's been rumored for a long time, as well as Jermall Charlo versus Jason Rosario, which is a unification at 154. Before we get into that actual fight, a day-night doubleheader, pay-per-view, single admission, no fans. I just, how does that work? And I know you asked the question to Espinosa, and he didn't really have many details, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around how that works. I know it's going to be one price on pay-per-view. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a good idea. Basically, it's like a pay-per-view on steroids. I mean, most people get a pay-per-view these days. The anticipation is you're going to get four fights. You're lucky if you have obviously the main event that's being sold to the public. But you're lucky if you get even one other fight on the undercard that's really a worthwhile kind of quality, premium cable or main event caliber kind of fight. My loose philosophy on a pay-per-view is, and we'll go back to what used to be the era of Showtime and HBO, that at least one other fight on the card should be the kind of bout that those networks would buy to put on their regular air. And so often the pay-per-views did not provide that. You get a main event, which obviously theoretically would be of that level, and the rest of the fights on the card would often be just a showcase for, say, the A side, or maybe just sort of like a lesser defense against like an okay opponent, but nothing to really get you geeked up about it. And that was your four fight card, those types of fights besides the main event. The way that they're doing this card on September 26th, and as Espinosa pointed out, and as they announced, all of these events are earmarked to take place at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. Now, he did say that if current circumstances allow later in the year to possibly go to a different location or to have an event where there might be spectators allowed, that they'll take that under consideration. And so maybe one or two of these events could move elsewhere. But for the time being, these events are all going to take place. I believe they announced 9 events or 8, I guess, plus the, 9 if you count the doubleheader pay-per-view as 2 different events. All will take place at the Mohegan Sun. But the way they're going to do it basically is they'll have 3 of the fights in the afternoon period of time, probably the late afternoon. They haven't decided which Charlotte brother will, which fight will go first. But they'll have 3 events in the 3 fights in the afternoon. They'll take a break and then they'll come back later in the evening for the remainder of the 3 fights. He basically made the analogy of if you're a basketball fan and you're watching, on ABC or on Turner or whatever, a basketball doubleheader, you watch one game and then, a little while after that first game ends, they take you to the second game. He made the joke that Brian Custer, the host, they got to give him a little bit of time to, get up and go take a leak and maybe grab a sandwich. But that's how it's going to work. You'll get 6 fights on that pay-per-view, including each of the 2 Charlo fights in their title bouts. And, but for one price. So it seems like a pretty good deal. If you ask me, it's a pretty strong card. There were so many fights announced. Dan, I can't even remember exactly which bouts were on each of those shows. But I know that, as you mentioned, Charlo, Rosario, and the other Charlo against Derevchenko may not necessarily be superstar names or the types of fights you would necessarily see in a pay-per-view main event. But this is, you're getting, I think, it's good fights quantity-wise and they're good matchups in terms of quality-wise also, even if they're not the biggest fights. But you put it all together, and you're going to get six fights. It seems like in this day and age, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, you're right. It has to have some value, and adding them both on there and some intrigue, two twins fighting in big title fights. The doubleheader is a little of intrigue. You have to add something on. The UFC did their whole island thing. It wasn't really an island. It was in an arena. You have to have some type of marketing ploy here, and Showtime definitely did that too. Another fight that
and
was
listed. By the way, the bouts that they added. And again, I don't remember them off the top of my head because we just came off the call with them. But the other four fights that are on those two cards, if you will, were all seemingly pretty solid in my mind. That they were there were no like crazy mismatches or things that I looked at and were like, oh, that's just terrible. No,
right, Danny Roman's on it. Another one pay-per-view. October 24th, Gervonta Davis, Leo Santa Cruz, long been rumored, finally now today finalized and announced. WBA has slid in and did their normal things. I think there's two weight classes, two belts, everyone gets a belt. I don't understand that part, but just the nuts and bolts. This is a good fight. It's a step up for Gervonta Davis in a way, and Leo Santa Cruz is a known commodity who's fought on pretty much every single platform in the PBC. What's your take on this fight between Davis and Santa Cruz?
I've liked this fight for a long time. I've always felt like if there was one guy that might be able to blunt just the crazy aggressiveness of a Gervonta Davis, it might be a Leo Santa Cruz just because of the fact that he's displayed a very good chin throughout his career. He throws a lot of punches, and he's very long with his reach, so he might be able to keep Gervonta at bay a little bit. So I've kind of always liked the matchup. The fact that this fight is happening, as you mentioned, is not a surprise. I host that talk show on the Impact Network, and way back when we did our very first episode, sometime I want to say in like early May, Leonard Ellerbe was the guest on my first show, and we talked about that, and he made the point that yes, these guys are going to fight. We've agreed to everything, and it's going to be a pay-per-view and all that. So this has been a long time coming. It's a fight that both fighters have said that they want. You mentioned about the two titles that are at stake. It's basically a throwback, and Espinoza mentioned this on the call. I think I brought it up to him in one of my questions. It's kind of like a throwback to the days when you had Sugar Ray Leonard taking on Donnie Lalonde, and the fight was at 168 pounds, or might even be less in terms of the actual official contract weight. But the point was both a super middleweight title at 168 and a light heavyweight title at 175 were both at stake because it was under that weight limit of 175. In this case, it's going to be the same kind of thing. You're going to have Gervonta Davis's second-tier title in the WBA at 135 at stake, as well as Leo Santa Cruz's title at 130 at stake, but the weight limit's 130 pounds. So both will be at stake. And I also asked this to Espinoza, and he grudgingly admitted this as was the case. It's kind of a hedge, to be honest, of whether Gervonta Davis can make 130 pounds, because if he doesn't make 130 pounds, they don't lose the notion that there'll be a title at stake in the fight, which to them gives it more pizzazz, I guess. So either way, there'll be the 135 title on the line unless he comes in over 135. But hopefully Gervonta will be a professional. He's got plenty of time before now in the fight to make that 130 pound weight limit, and they'll do what Leonard and Lalonde did many years ago, and they'll have both titles at stake, and that'll be that. But the most important thing, besides whatever belts the guys get to hoist up over their heads or wrap around themselves when the fight's over, fans are probably in for a pretty fun fight.
Yes, it's the volume of Leo Santa Cruz is one of the most prolific punchers in all of boxing, according to us at Combat Box, versus the power of Gervonta Davis. What do you think this rollout in terms of means for Fox? I know that this is just Showtime. We didn't get into what Fox means. If you're savvy enough, you can kind of do a process of elimination to see who's going to fight on Fox. What have you heard in terms of PBC on Fox?
Yeah, well, that goes without saying, I think, because, like you said, the PBC fighters that were announced for their variety of bouts that are going to be on Showtime and Showtime pay-per-view, the bigger names that are not on that schedule are going to wind up being on the Fox events that will come forth this fall. Now, there were a couple of slots on the Showtime cards that were announced as sort of TBAs where the bouts weren't a 100% set yet, an opponent for Jaren Ennis, for example, or a couple of undercard fights for one of the shows. So, we'll see some guys slide into those positions. But basically, if you didn't see the bigger name guy on the Showtime rollout, that, for example, when it comes time for Fox to make their announcements, you're going to see probably an Errol Spence, Danny Garcia on Fox. You're going to see a Sean Porter fight on one of the Fox platforms. I've heard that he's going to fight Ivan Redcatch as a good possibility. You'll see, you know, pick a guy. You'll see hopefully a Manny Pacquiao will be back in action.
Right.
You got to figure he'll be back on the Fox platform like his fight was last year against Keith Thurman, which was literally a year ago, just a few days ago.
Right.
So, you know, take the bigger names and you'll see them. And even the top contenders that you didn't see put onto the Showtime card. I'm thinking about like an Ordenis Ugas, for example. You got to figure he winds up on one of these Fox events. A Caleb Plant in his next fight on one of these Fox events, whether it's Fox pay-per-view or their FS1 cards. Gary Russell, if he actually fights a second time this year, as another example. So, you know, those are the types of fighters I think we'll see populate the events that Fox will announce probably in the coming weeks, I suppose.
Yeah, you're seeing the strength of the PBC roster. You're seeing the business side of things, two networks to work with where you can kind of go off one to the other and see who's in the better shape in terms of budgets and all that stuff that a lot of fans like to get involved with. One fight that you didn't list there, and it's a fight that many fans want to see, and it's they have the rights to the third fight. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury is technically going to be a Fox fight going back to their original agreement for that third, the trilogy. Brings you to my next topic, Dan. It's now what ESPN is going to do, what the match rooms are going to do, the DAZNs, the Golden Boys, and so forth. Start with ESPN. Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez, according to Bob Arum, the fight has been pushed back to a later date in October. He says, fans without fans, this fight's most likely going to happen. It's going to happen on pay-per-view. Do you think now that this big-time rollout has happened from PBC, that let's just go with ESPN, do you think they will now shift into overdrive? Are we going to see these pay-per-views happen between Loma and Tio, Wilder, Fury 3?
Well, in terms of Wilder, Fury 3, they've talked about December 19th as a possibility, and that's a joint event between ESPN and Fox, regardless of what happened in the second fight. So they were partners on the second fight that took place in February. They're going to be partners again on the third fight whenever it happens. You know, they say December 19th. That's what Bob Arum said. I'm a little skeptical about that, that maybe it gets pushed into next year, but we'll have to wait and see what Fox announces. I assume that if they announce a slate all at once, that may very well be part of it. In terms of the Lopez and Lomachenko fight, that fight, and I wrote a story about this for Boxing Scene not that long ago, that they had switched the date from the late September timeframe to October 3rd, and it's going to be a pay-per-view. I don't think that Top Rank is in a position at the moment to announce a whole bunch of fights all at once. I mean, they were able to put together their comeback fights in the bubble in June and July. They just completed those fights. They announced on their final show of that bubble series on Tuesday night a couple of the rescheduled dates for August, which is the Storm Alvarez fight against Joe Smith. You know, Alvarez had suffered an injury, so they pushed that back to, I believe it's August 22nd. Rather than going Tuesdays and Thursdays, they're going to have a couple of Saturday night events in August. And then the 29th, I believe, was the date that they are putting on now for the third time being rescheduled between for the 140-pound unified title that Jose Ramirez has, his fight against the mandatory Victor Postol. So those will be two fights for ESPN. So that's not a rollout of, you know, eight or nine events. Mm-hmm. And they also announced that there, and again, I wrote about this also, there will be also on August 15th taking place in the UK, there'll be a doubleheader, right, where you'll have Michael Conlan and Carl Frampton in separate fights. So, you know, it seems to me that Top Rank, without having to announce, you know, a whole bunch of fights all at once, at least, you know, in August, they have, you know, two definitely quality main events in Alvarez and Smith and Postol and Ramirez. And then a doubleheader with Conlan and Frampton. We'll see who their opponents are. They're not set just yet. And then they'll get to work on September. They guys that they'd like to bring back also. Obviously, the most notable of those will be Terrence Crawford. And it's already been out there, as we just talked about, with Lomachenko-Lopez fight taking place in October. So they look to me like, even though they didn't do some bells and whistles announcement, they've got a whole bunch of solid fights coming, you know, in the next couple of months. And then we'll have to see what else they can put together, whether they do the Wilder Fury 3 this year or it gets pushed into early next year. They've got some fights on tap for sure.
What would prevent them from doing these pay-per-views? I mean, do you see that PBC seems like they're shifting towards pay-per-views to do the big ones? Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez, the Wilder Fury 3 won't happen unless it's a pay-per-view. What would prevent them from doing that?
I don't know if anything is going to prevent them from doing that. Now, one thing is for sure, you know, they can talk about doing Lomachenko Lopez all they want as a pay-per-view, but they still don't have official contracts done and deals made with each side. And that was the case even back when they were hoping to do that fight in May before the virus started to close everything down. Mm-hmm. But both fighters have said definitely they want the fight. Both fighters turned down the opportunity to have interim bouts that would have taken place, you know, this spring, early summer, and said, no, look, we just want to fight each other. And so they're going to do that, and they'll wait till October. So I have no doubt that they'll get the deal done. So that if that happens, then we'll see that fight as a pay-per-view. You know, in terms of the Wilder and the Fury fight, whether it happens in December or it gets pushed into the early part of next year, whatever the case may be, that deal is already done. Those terms were contemplated when they did the deal for the second fight. So there's no real issue there as far as I know.
Dan,
so they'll be pay-per-views.
Go ahead. Dan, before we let you go. You know, you're a big Yankee fan. We're big Yankee fans here as well. Season's about to get underway. 60-game schedule. Over-under wins for the New York Yankees. I'm setting it at 41. What do you say, Dan?
60.
60-0. That's what I also thought as well. I don't want to be too biased here, but I'm ready. Nation's capital. Fauci throwing out the first pitch. Baseball's back. Boxing's back in a very big way. Dan Rafael, thank you so much for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live.
You bet, Dan. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
This week's parting shot, we talk about ESPN Top Rank in the summer series. It's all over, folks. The bubble has burst. 47 days, 2 months, boxing every single day on Tuesday and Thursday. They're going to go back to their normal schedule starting on August 27th. A quick shout out to everyone at the Top Rank and everyone at ESPN. The entire broadcast team first at ESPN did a wonderful job. Joe Tess, as the ringleader, going through all of that. The production team at ESPN behind the scenes doing that every single Tuesday and Thursday remotely is no easy task. As for the team at Top Rank, it all starts with the top, Mr. Bob Arum, the Bodfather. You go down to Brad Jacobs, Carl Moretti. Go over to the matchmakers, Brad Goodman and the Hall of Famer, Bruce Trampler. PR man, Evan Korn, the corner man, photographer, Mikey Williams, and Ryan Green of the social media guru team over at Top Rank did a wonderful job. 47 days on the road, 47 days away from their families. We got to see boxing every single Tuesday and Thursday. Say what you want about the fight, say what you want about the series, but it was important. Fighters emerged. Careers continued. We saw some crazy things happen. 2,300, some numbers for you here. 2,300 COVID tests, 19 positives, 13 cards, 70 fights, 12 canceled fights, 10,897 punches landed, and 43 sandwiches eaten by Tim Bradley, highlighted by the bacon sandwich, the bacon on bread, which I ate before I got to the studio today. Delicious. Who can forget about the hot dog sandwiches, too, wrapped in tortillas with my guy Tim Bradley. There were some good moments, too. Moment of the bubble was the double knockout that happened during Bernardo Osuna's live hit on SportsCenter. Very rarely do you see a double knockdown, but to have it happen live behind you on ESPN, that was awesome. Haircut of the bubble obviously goes out to Kelvin Metcalf with his horseshoe braid hybrid, the forced horseshoe. He shaved it, and that was a whole scene going on there. Fighter of the bubble. Is there any other guy? It's Clay Collard in a landslide. Duh. Clay Collard, one of the best storylines to come out of the bubble. That's Mr. Cassius Clay Collard. And the fight of the bubble, Andrew Maloney versus Joshua Franco. Really good fight. Listen, we're seeing bigger things happen. We're seeing big things happen with Showtime. We're seeing big things happen with a Matchroom. And everyone's starting to come back now. But someone had to be first. And it was Top Rank and ESPN. And hats off to them for everything they did. Putting on some good fights. Keeping the sport alive. Keeping it going. There were a lot of great things that we saw from Top Rank and ESPN over the last 2 months. We'll be on hiatus next week. There will be no Inside Boxing Live. I'll be floating in a pool in an undisclosed area. But there is boxing on this weekend. DAZN is back with Virgil Ortiz. Go over to our YouTube page at CompuBox TV. Check out our Inside the Numbers or By the Numbers on Virgil Ortiz. I think he is the next big superstar in boxing. Special thanks to our guest, Dan Rafael, for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live. Remember, folks, wash your hands, wear a mask. We'll see you next time on Inside Boxing Live.